Well, you can open up your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Amen. So whatever, if you brought your Bible or if you brought your iPad or iPhone or Android phone, whatever means, you there? All right. Before we read the scripture that I'm going to start with in 14, just to let you know, this was just right after Jesus went through the transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John were there to witness it. But yet they weren't allowed to tell anybody about it till after he was raised from the dead. So they came down off of this mountain. Now they just saw Jesus in this white outfit. Just the glory of God was shining all over, coming from him. And then they looked, and there's Moses and there's Elijah. Wow. Because they didn't know what to say. They asked him, they said, hey, you want us to build us a little hut here for you guys? You know, we'll go to each one and be separate. And then they heard the voice say, didn't they? They heard God speak. This is my son. Yeah, my son. And what'd they do? They all got on their knees and buried their faces to the ground. They weren't going to look up. And then what? Jesus touched them. And don't be afraid. When they looked up, Jesus was back to the way he looked when they came up the mountain. But everybody else is gone. So they go down off the mountain. And they go down, and in verse 14 is where I want to start. Verse 14. Okay. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, now you can imagine right there, this guy comes up and he's sitting down. But when Jesus came down, he looked out and there were all these scribes and they were disputing or having a debate with the other nine. So, verse 15, the man said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Now you can hold your place there, because we're gonna come back there. But you turn to Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 9, because we can see right here is that he has frustration with the unbelieving and unresponsive generation of people there. Now the word perverse, though, see, it refers to the disciples straying from the instructions given to them on account of their lack of understanding or trust. Basically, their lack of faith. His disciples were merely a reflection of this attitude in this instance. Jesus' purpose was not to criticize the disciples, but to encourage them to a greater level of faith. See, the disciples had been given the authority to do healing, but they had not yet learned how to appropriate the power of God. Now, I wanted you to pick up on this because it's not in this one, but in Mark chapter 9, look to verse 21. So Jesus asked his father, Because he just said, bring him to me. Now, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Notice, from childhood. He wasn't born with it. Came upon him when he was a young child. And often, it says there in 22, as we read before, has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, I'm talking to you sitting out here in these seats. If you can believe, what scriptures say? All things are possible to him who believes. Say, I believe. All things are possible because I believe. Amen. Yes. Amen. And immediately the father cried out with tears running down his face. Said, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Expresses the dilemma that even those who believe can be nagged by doubt and hopelessness. But he took the correct course and appealed to Jesus for help. You hear me? Jesus had to get the Father ready to receive. Okay, back over to where we were at there in Matthew chapter 17. Verse 18. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. He was cured from that very hour. Jesus' words were this, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. It wasn't going to come back. It wasn't allowed to come back. Jesus forbid it to come back. So it wasn't coming back. He was healed for life. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? I noticed how like it said, it cast it. Yeah. Call it an it. That's right. Cast it out. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Unbelief here is the Greek word apistia. Okay? And it also means faithless. Weakness of faith, lack of faith, little faith, small faith. Jesus was saying, guys, you have little faith. You have little faith. Now, this point here we got to make. You'll like this, brothers. We can't really believe in his power and love without going to him and praying to him often and earnestly. Not from a mere impulse of fear of a situation we are facing, but always out of a pure heart and a wholehearted faith. We need to be praying consistently and persistently with our Lord. Being consistent and persistent in our prayers always, always pays off. Always does. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is required. Better yet, prayer is mandatory with God. Ain't no other way you're going to communicate to him. Prayer is the foundation of every Christian endeavor. In Philippians 4, what are we told? Pray about everything. Are we not? We are to pray about everything. Verse 20 again. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Ladies, now's the time. Now's the time, ladies. Jesus just told the disciples their faith was too small. And he uses the mustard seed size of faith in comparison. So as they're passing these out, think about that comparison. So when you get it in your hand, you'll look at it. In fact, you'll probably end up having to put it in a palm of your hand. Yeah. Because if you're like me, sometimes you get it between a finger and it rolls out. Yeah. But yeah, you just put that in a palm of your hand and look at it. Wow. Jeez. That's not very big, is it? Not very big. They didn't have that much faith, is what Jesus is telling them. They didn't have that much faith. See, look at when you're looking at its size, not very big, right? But you know, that's all it takes. It's all it takes to move a mountain. That's all it takes. You got it? You're looking at it?
Yeah.
That'll move a mountain. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Where's the power come behind it? Jesus. But that's all it takes. That little seed. That little seed. Now, Ted. Okay, there it is. You see that? You see that?
Yeah.
I'm just going to give credit where credit's due. I didn't come up with that. My brother Joe sent that to me after last week's service. I was wondering what direction I was supposed to go, and when I got that, it just fell. I knew where I was supposed to go because that spoke to me what that man believes in what he's doing. But let's read that together. I have a mustard seed, and I'm not afraid to use it. That's what it says. You should be saying that all the time. Don't be afraid to use your faith. And then once you use your faith, what are you supposed to do? Stand in faith. And then what do? You continue to stand in faith. We may not see the manifestation in the natural realm right away, but no, God is on the move, and continue to stand in faith. That song we sang this morning, Stand in Faith. You singers can help me. I will stand in faith, eyes on you, walk by faith for my breakthrough, live by faith before you move. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. Stand in faith, eyes on you. See by faith for my breakthrough. Receive by faith before you move. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. It's a season for healing. It's a season for change. To see miracles happen that no one can fathom. Say this, I will stand in faith. Amen. Amen. But in Matthew 17 and in Mark 9, those scriptures, two things here that need to be pointed out in them. First, the disciples could do nothing without faith. Secondly, the father of the child could receive nothing without faith. Well, I thought I'd get a response out of that one. Faith is more than belief. It is from the resulting of putting ourselves into connection with God. The wire must be brought into connection with the battery before it can be charged with electricity. Well, come on, how about an amen? Just, you know, yeah, that's right. Jesus tells his disciples that the reason for their failure is that they have been trying to do by themselves what they can only do when he is behind them, when their very characters are so open that his strength can flow freely throughout them. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Don't get ahead of yourself. Hallelujah. Luke 17. Look to verses 5 and 6. Shirley, you ready? I got to make sure. Okay. I'm going to keep my sister happy. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith, that is trust and confidence in God, as a mustard seed, you got your mustard seed?
Yeah.
You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, faith, the size of a mustard seed, can do amazing things. The black mulberry tree has a gigantic root system that allows it to live up to 100 years. The roots grow long and they grow down as well. Now remember, it's like they grow anywhere but to 60 to 80 feet high. Okay? So it's not going to be uprooted, is it? Jesus used it to illustrate that with faith, the size of a mustard seed, it could be uprooted and cast into the sea. We are living in a time where our faith is being tested by the devil every day. Yeah, I knew you'd all agree with that one. Because we are. All you do is turn the TV on. Or just listen to, look at your phone. You don't even have to ask for it. They're pushing it on you. Want you to see it. Making you feel like you lost everything. You start doubting. You start letting the hopelessness fall in. Don't let the hopelessness and the doubt fall in. Use the doubt to build your faith. We must use our faith because this is how it will grow. Faith is a seed and must be planted to grow. And Luke 10, there we go. Now we'll go to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 19. And before, you know what, I'll read the scripture says, Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I got saved. I was a constant, amplified classic man. I wore a couple of them out, literally wore them out. But that same scripture, it reads, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. I was using this Bible and using these scriptures on my daughter when she was younger, or on Leanne. She was in the back seat of the car. We were on our way to Nyack College, Christian College. Yeah, we're going to see my uncle. Yeah, his daughter was getting married. He was the dean of Nyack College at the time. But we stopped, got ourselves a meal, and we're headed. My dad's going to follow in his car. We're headed to out there. And anyhow, Leanne says, I don't feel good. So I started saying, hey, I told you, give it up. I said, open up that Bible right there on that scripture. And we started, you got to take authority of it. I'm telling my little girl that, right? Next thing I know, I hear, man, I'm telling you, she got the Bible. It come up, knocked the glasses off my face, the sunglasses off. It was everywhere. I had to pull off the side of the road and clean it all up. And then I sit down, and we're all ready to go. And we're leaving, and Leanne says, I'm hungry now, right? Crystal said, the bag with food is what I gave you to finish in. But we laughed, and we drove the rest of the way to Nyack College and made the wedding on time. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was taking authority over it, yeah. I didn't know the authority I had, see. I was still young in the Lord. Yeah, well, I tell you, that projectile that day, I'll never forget it. Right at that front windshield, never look at Teresa Center. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I was trying. Now I don't no longer try. I do it. I just say it. It's done. That's the difference when you start to grow up and you start to get mature. Okay? I thought that you would enjoy them. Okay? We have all been given authority to access the power of God by faith through his son, Jesus. That is, we have the physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm us. Nothing. 1 John 5:4. I'm not going to have you turn there, and I'm going to read it, but all of you have heard this scripture many, many times. You hear it on Flashpoint all the time. You hear it on Victory News all the time. You hear Kenneth Copeland say it all the time. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith is what overcomes. It's the faith. See, Jesus did not strip Satan of his power, but of his authority to use it against us. We have access to a greater power, the power of God, and it is put forth according to our faith. It's back to us again, is it not? Seems like it always makes its way back to us. Because he's trying to teach us something. All this here is examples, but it's teaching material. Teaching to let us know what we're empowered with. What we have the abilities through him to do and to accomplish. See, the disciples were unable to drive out this demon, and they asked Jesus why, and he point blank said to them, it was your lack of faith, boys. Your lack of faith. It is the power of God, not our faith, that moves the mountains. But faith must be present to do it. Did you get that? See, you go out and start speaking it. That's what he said. You can do all the faith in the world, but if you ain't really believing it, that power is not going to do anything for you. You got to believe. You got to believe in him. The mustard seed was the smallest particle imaginable. So even the small and undeveloped faith would have been sufficient to cast that demon out. There is great power in even a little faith, especially since God is with us. If we are feeling weak and powerless as believers, we should examine our faith, making sure we are trusting not in our own abilities to produce the results, but God's. And the disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. In response to his disciples' request to increase their faith, Jesus made it clear to them that they didn't need more faith. Mm-mm. He told them to sow, to plant, or to use. There it is. To use faith that we already have. What's it say? Real loud. There you go. Faith is the servant of the believer. It is the duty of the believer's faith to do what we command it to do. Our faith has been given to us by God to use in his name to meet our every need and to stand against all the fiery arrows and the storms of the curse. That curse. Well, Galatians chapter 3 answers that, doesn't it? Very clearly for us. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I don't care what storm you're up against. It's part of the curse. You've been redeemed, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Faith. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Now I got Matthew or Mark? That's Mark. I'm sorry. Mark. I was wondering, I looked down and said, that didn't write. Mark. So it's Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now this is just to further explain to you about the seed. In verse 26, it says, "And he said," this is Jesus now, "the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter or sow seed on the ground." Jesus is saying the whole kingdom of God works like a seed. We as believers must plant it and expect it. You see, you've got to expect it to produce. When you sow it or put it on a line, He will develop it. See, that's what He does. We got to make the first step. Get the faith out there. And then stand in that faith. And He will make it happen. Through your faith. Now look down to verse 30. Then He says, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth." That mustard seed you got is pretty small, isn't it? Hey, I got it. Pretty small. "But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." It grows. When you plant it, it grows from that small size to something very huge that the birds can take rest under it and nest therein. Huh? You got to get that picture of it. That's why I had to let you see what that mustard seed looked like when it's in the palm of your hand. When we act in faith on His word, the situation may look impossible. That is when we obey what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says. So turn there. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 18. Says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." When we hold fast to our confession of faith in God's word, and we say, "It's mine, I have it now," faith begins to grow, and Satan's dominion begins to decrease. Trouble and circumstances will begin to shrink in our eyes. What's happening? Substance and faith-filled hope is happening. Hebrews 11:1. What does it say? "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. So when we plant our faith seed and speak to the mulberry tree from a heart full of faith in God's word, giving it the command to be plucked up out of the ground by the roots, we fully expect our faith to do the work. So we should go to bed and get up and go to bed and get up praising God. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun goes down. Right there you go. Praise. Praise is important to God. Praising God for the answer and knowing our servant faith, the mustard seed size is out there uprooting that tree and removing that mountain. In the natural realm, a father plants a seed. A farmer plants a seed expecting it to grow and to produce a harvest. He doesn't dig up the seed every day to check whether it's doing its job. The same is true in the spiritual realm. When we plant the seed of the word into the soil of our hearts and then meditate on it day and night until faith begins to grow, we speak it into the situation from faith in our heart, built on God's word, expecting our faith to produce the desired end result. Just like the farmer doesn't dig up that seed every day and wonder whether it's growing or not, we believe and allow the word seed to grow in our hearts by continually watering it with thanksgiving and praise. We must keep the vision of God's promise before our eyes and in our hearts. Word up. Word up. Yeah. What did he tell Joshua? He says, meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. You. It's up to you. Word up. Yeah. Allow the word seed we planted in faith to grow. All the while expecting that our faith is out there uprooting the mulberry trees and moving the mountains out of the way. Mark chapter 4 again at verse 26. Right? Mark. I said, why do I keep saying that? Mark, maybe to get your attention. Okay. Mark 4, verse 26 again. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and raise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. We can confidently sleep and rise night and day, and the seed we planted will spring forth and it will grow up. We don't know how, but it will. Our faith obeys us. And then the tree or the mountain obeys our faith. In the world of the Spirit, we as believers stand in a position of authority. Jesus fully intends for us to use the faith he has given us to rule and to reign on the earth, to receive what we need from heaven to get our job done for his kingdom. We are in his kingdom. We are his ecclesia. Yeah. By faith and our decrees, the words that come forth from our mouth, America shall be saved. Amen. We will overcome the evil that is in our nation. Because what they're doing in the nation affects each and every one of us. And it's affecting our children. It's affecting our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We are the ecclesia. We must move forward. That's what we are supposed to be doing. And we use our faith to tap into the power source of God, so that we are able to do things beyond what we even could imagine, because he will give us the ability. Because it's not on our own ability, it'll be by his ability. He will put the words in our mouths to say what we need to say, when we need to say it, and how to say it, and who to say it to. But it's our job. That's what we're called to be. His ecclesia. We are in His kingdom right now. Because in Mark 16, that's not too far, we'll turn there. Mark 16. Verse 15. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up a serpent. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Not comprehending these principles has reduced many believers to begging God for what He has already promised. When sickness and disease attack, many believers begin to beg God for healing. When He has already said in His Word, in Isaiah 53:5, "By His," Jesus' "stripes, we are healed." And in 1 Peter 2:24, "By His wounds we were healed." That's what we are, healed. You got to stand on it in faith, though. Yeah, you're going to get the attacks. I've been attacked. But I come back every time because I'm standing in faith. Ain't going to take me out. Not going to take you out either. You got too many things to do. Joe, don't ever question. He's got things for you to do. Marie, he's got things for you to do. That was one of her concerns. She doesn't want to go anywhere. She needs to be here praying for her family. She is the anchor in her family. I'm telling you. Every time there's a situation comes up, you know where her family runs? To Mama. Mama gives them encouragement, gives them a little bit of word, and then she calls and said, "Can y'all pray? Can we get in agreement with this?" And we do. And every situation has turned around, has it not? Everyone. I can't wait to see the day that Joey comes riding, flying by on that two-wheeler. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen. If Kenneth Copeland, at his age, can still be riding one, you will too. My brother. Amen. And he said he ain't going nowhere soon. He claiming 120. What are you claiming, Joe? Right there is what it says. Amen. It is our responsibility as believers to receive by faith what God has already provided, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. Faith is the servant of the believer. To believe is to love. To love is to obey. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
So what are you going to do with your mustard seed of faith? Use it. Use it. Amen? Amen. I hope you enjoyed that, because I did. So no matter what you're facing, don't think you don't have enough faith.